Let's welcome everybody in to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show on this special edition, Friday, Swedish edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, 5 p.m. Eastern here. Usually we fall into the 4 to 6. That's not the case today, as we just watched the Toronto Maple Leafs really stun the Red Wings in Sweden with a third period rally that I'm sure has Steve Yzerman and Chris Draper scratching their heads. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jen Rolnick with you for the rest of the hour here in the Leaf Edition. And then we go into a national edition at 6 p.m. local here. You can always download our podcast wherever you get your platforms. And remember to text us 590-590. And, of course, we can officially call this Off the Rails Friday, as we will have Doug McLean at some point today to talk about everything that we witnessed so far this afternoon. JB, it wasn't looking pretty in, I'd say, what, 40-plus minutes.
Yeah.
And then it's as if, shall I say, the Jägermeister wore off. Did you guys ever have Jägermeister?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Lots.
Yeah, far too much in my life.
I would say it's by far my favorite thing to share.
I've never had Jägermeister in my life.
What? But, what does that even mean?
But no, what it means is I never had it until a Swedish defenseman named Kalle Johansson ordered a tray of them.
Okay,
And hardly have ever visited it since.
Yeah.
But
freezing cold? Really cold?
Oh, yeah.
Cold.
Yeah.
It's a nice beverage.
I'm getting thirsty, boys.
It looked in those first 40 minutes that the Jägermeister must have been flying all week long, because that was a dog's breakfast of a hockey game for two periods.
That was ugly. First off, a little note, just that it was historic. That was the first Maple Leafs game ever not played in North America, so kind of cool to come on air after that and be a part of sort of a historic Leafs broadcast here on Sportsnet. But it wasn't great. You know, all the hype and the buildings packed and the Willie Nylander show, and it was ugly. And I know we're going to get to how amazing Willie and his line were in the third period, but Willie was not as fine as self for the early portion of that game. It just wasn't anything happening. Halfway through the game, the shots were 10-10. So took a little while for everything to sort of connect and get flowing.
I would say that was by far the worst William Nylander has looked all season, and he finishes with three points, including the game-tying goal in the power play, sets up one of the game winners. It's just like,
I don't know, can we kind of give him a break a little bit?
Yes.
Everyone
he knows in attendance watching, that's a lot of pressure.
If by chance they didn't have the comeback, what were your thoughts if they would have just kind of finished the game like they started for the first 40 minutes? Would you have still maybe said it's
cut them slack then? I don't know.
Or did the third period absolutely save their bacon?
The only reason we're talking about this, because at intermission we were having the conversation where Sammy had said going into this game, Nylander is going to be one of two things. He's going to be unbelievable or he's going to be awful.
And yet again, I was wrong.
Oh, yeah. He ended up being neither of those things. He was not great until he really took over the game. The play he makes to set up Bertuzzi changes the entire game, right? And it's the type of play only he can make, where he gets that touch up high and shakes a guy.
We've seen that 10, 15 times already this season.
Yeah, and just controlled the pace, and everyone gets pucks staring at Willie, and he makes a pass, and Bertuzzi is where you'd like Bertuzzi to be for that line to work, and all of a sudden the Leafs go get a scent for it, and then I don't know if Detroit stopped playing, if they were worn out on the tail end of a back-to-back, or if the Leafs just started getting hungry, but it was over from then.
You pointed out to me during that play that he made to tie it up when he passed it over to Bertuzzi that 99.9% of guys in the AHL just try to force that on net when he's at the hash marks.
He has a moment
and
to shoot it at the top of the
towards
circle.
The corner where it's like, that's just elite vision. Gets it across to Bertuzzi, who had his best game as a Leaf, and then there you go.
That's why
William Nylander's going to be really rich.
You must have loved the Bertuzzi causes the turnover on Justin Hall. Justin Hall looks like Hall for a moment. Leafs fans probably went, oh, right, that guy.
Yeah.
Nice to be on the other end of that, I'm sure, for Leafs fans.
Yeah. A lot of people would have thought for Bertuzzi playing against an old team that he would have come out gangbusters, but that wasn't the case. And it's as if that one play, the one play to Tavares, could possibly change his season.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I do, because it is right in his wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. It's what you're paying five.
It's what you want him to be. Go get a puck in a forecheck.
$5 million. That is him. Mm-hmm. And it just hasn't been around.
I am curious, Kip, if, you know, Bertuzzi, good Bertuzzi, kind of looks like exactly what could make Willie and Tavares work. Because Willie and Tavares typically haven't controlled play when they've been out there together. They haven't even outscored their opposition typically. Mm-hmm. But with Bertuzzi, good Bertuzzi, if there's someone else to be at the net, someone else to forecheck, like, could he be the guy that we go, maybe Bertuzzi's not destined for Matthews and Marner. Maybe this is the right spot for him.
If he's able to make those tight plays, and it was like the total package, so you got the physical Bertuzzi,
yeah,
and then you've got the one that can make a quick play within, what, 5-7 feet, those short passes, which he is known for,
yeah,
then with a guy like Tavares who's always sniffing around the blue paint, there's no reason why that recipe can't work.
Yeah. Yeah, and we saw it. Interesting, because I think if you broke down the full game, Matthews and Marner, not much of a showing tonight out of that line, eh? Like, I really didn't get much there. Not much of the third line. Really just kind of got,
yeah,
kind of a pretty ho-hum game, yeah, that the Leafs just pulled out.
Yeah, and we've seen this a lot over the past few years with this team, where it's like, yeah, they don't really have a whole lot going into the third period, and then they have four guys on their team who make a lot of money who just were like, all right, well,
yeah,
we're going to put this on our back and score. And that's worked in the regular season. You know, we've had the conversation about the playoffs a little bit,
yeah,
but like it does work in the regular season that skill takes over.
The one thing that I was kind of reminded again when it comes to the Leafs in those first 40 minutes is I just don't think they pass the puck very well.
Yeah.
And yes, they've got amazing world-class talent.
Yeah.
And it usually is a great individual effort, like we saw on Willie Nylander to start,
yep,
where it's just this world-class skill takes over, one-on-one scenario, beat a guy with your edges. But when it comes to moving and passing the puck, I thought Detroit for the first 40 minutes, they weren't great at passing the puck either in the first two periods,
like two,
but they were better.
Played a ton.
But
yeah,
they were better.
I guess they played the day before, which might have helped.
So, yeah. Is this just the way it's going to be for Leaf fans watching a typical game like this where you could be frustrated for long periods of time and then you have your fingers crossed? Come on, let the world talent take over.
Yeah.
Please let the world talent take over.
Let's great
observation.
I actually think it is a really good observation about the Leafs, though. You know, after we've had some of these conversations, you know, I have access to a couple of different like sites for stats and stuff. And the Leafs are not a team that passes the puck a ton. Their best guys, like John Tavares, passes the least of the core four. He is an around the blue paint, get the rebound. His assists come off, generating
and
shots, rebounds.
I really don't remember a lot of passes ever.
No, he'll make like one around the net to someone or something, but not a ton of passes. Willie would prefer to shoot it. Matthews would prefer to shoot it. And those are the guys who have the puck the bulk of the game for them. Right now, according to Stathletes, they're 21st in the NHL in passes. So, you know, they pass the puck considerably less than Tampa Bay, Vegas, Vancouver, you know, and Detroit's seventh in the NHL, a team that does pass the puck a little more. So there is real merit to that observation.
Okay. Not a lot happening up until a span of a couple minutes between a goal that we thought was scored by Mitch Marner. For the first time, I think in 3 years, we've watched a game together.
We went in person. I don't think we've just sat and watched a game together.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Why?
Like I don't know if I ever want to do it again.
I thought it was a good mix.
I enjoyed it.
I thought you talked a little too much.
Oh,
what was I saying?
What was I saying?
You just need to
hang on now
all the time.
Hang on now. You're like the guy who's in contact with the Situation Room every time a play happens.
Honestly, just for the people out there,
Kip
a goal goes in.
During that.
Four calls. They're like, what'd you think of the goal, Kipper? He's like talking to seven people.
Who's you talking to the ref? Who are you in touch with?
Just everybody. Everybody wants to call me. I don't know why.
So everyone's at home going, what did Kipper think? And your phone blows up the second a puck goes
Coley
in the net.
Campbell over
it didn't help me. Good, does it count, having a conversation with Sammy in the background. Chirping.
That's me.
But yeah. Listen.
I'm a chirper.
I'll go home and I'll sleep over it, you know, on it.
Consider watching again with us.
I would consider watching another hockey game with you.
Next sleepover we all have. Bring our PJs and watch a Leafs game.
I did go find snacks for us.
That was cool.
Thanks. A lot of them.
Yes.
He brought back like seven bags of chips.
You need some popcorn.
Okay. Initial thoughts, because everybody, majority, had the assumption that Mitch Marner shot a puck that would have gone in the net if it hadn't been dislodged.
Yeah. You know, I thought it would have been really hard to call it a goal. Like, it would have been anticlimactic, but it would have been the right call. To me, the net is dislodged. The puck goes by the goalie without the goalie touching it. And the only reason it hits Wallman is because he's where the net used to be.
Boy, that was a weird fall for him. That was a beer league fall. Just
well,
right
he was like, I'm
going
to go behind the net. I'm going to go in front of the net. I'm just going to eat the net. Yeah. That was awkward.
Yeah.
But I actually think it should have been a goal.
Yeah. I imagine if we were talking about a game four, game five right now, and it would be the hottest story.
Well, and what if that...
Right? In a playoff, you know, if the Leafs would have not come back,
oh yeah,
it would be... That's a typical nightmare for the league.
Yeah. But I mean, what do you do? Like, you know, back when my dad was playing, they had the long moorings that, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure. And the official explanation from the National Hockey League is that there was no conclusive video evidence.
So do you think it was because they were in Sweden? Like, would they have had more video in
a
North American building?
Is that, you know.
I didn't think about that.
That don't make no sense.
Jesus.
If in North America, you have the way bigger pegs, right? And in Sweden, you had the tiny little holes.
Oh, is that, do they have little four hole pegs?
I don't know if it's four. They're just tiny.
Okay.
That cannot be seen in, from video. But the pegs can, and it helps you guide.
I see what you mean. Where
it would have been. But they couldn't even determine where the posts were.
Right.
Once it dislodged.
Because Wallman goes right over the holes in the peg.
And if you don't know exactly where it's lined up.
You can't have any gray area.
Within a fraction of an inch or a centimeter, it's really hard to be conclusive.
Yeah, and that's fair.
And that's why they had to turn around. And their biggest fear is that... Any general manager would come up to them on the unfavorable side and go, just show it to me, prove it to me.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's
well,
fine if it's a goal.
We can't really prove it, but we think it would have gone in.
Yeah.
And that's okay if it's shot in the middle of the net.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing
like towards the post-ish.
Towards the post, it's like.
Like it probably was going to be a goal if Wallman doesn't, you know, knock that net off, but is what it is. What did you think of Samsonov tonight? You know, I don't know, not just what you thought of the goaltending, but the decision to start him as well as how he played.
Yeah, I thought he's fine, and I think he's been fine for a week now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think whatever he's going through or gone through, I think he's coming out of it. I got to tell you, with the shot on the collarbone.
Mm-hmm. That looked like it hit
there
him.
There was a part of me going,
not this again.
Please get up. Just. Find a way to stay in the game, right?
Well, last year, that was a criticism. I forgot about this.
Yes.
That you were like, tough it out a little bit.
But that one, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but it hit him in the chest protector.
But he had also been hit in the middle of the mask on a shot like 2 minutes earlier or something. Maybe it was five minutes
and
earlier.
And I'm glad that he found a way to gut it out. Is that a good term?
Yeah. I mean, listen, it would have been really hard to see a goalie get hit in the padding of his chest, leave the game and go, that's,
wrist shot.
I'm glad.
Wrist snapshot.
I'm glad he hung in there. He was fine. The Lucas Raymond goal, though, for me.
Threw him, right?
Yeah, maybe. It could be, but it's just like, that's one where he's already on his knees as Raymond is shooting it.
Yeah.
And then so it ends up going under his wing a little bit or under his glove, but I didn't love that one.
Don't love an NHL sniper just... standing
parked out
10 feet from the net and just getting a chance to go barring in on him. But
I think credit to Leafs and Sheldon Keefe For Sena Samsonov, this is a big moment, big game, Saturday night, division rival. We still think highly of you. We haven't handed the team to Joseph Wohl. You're the guy who makes more money. I think it was a statement start to give him the start.
I agree. And do you think it's just 100% locked that Wohl plays on Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah? I don't know if they've announced that or not.
I think Keith is pretty good about giving everyone, they went all the way over there. I can't see him being like, come here and watch two games. He started all the Swedes. Yeah. Like, he has a pretty good sense for that stuff. Plus, Samsonov was all dinged. It'll certainly be Wohl.
Yeah. God, I hope that doesn't factor into your decision.
The ding?
I just think.
No,
that,
which part? Yeah.
Well,
there's a human element here.
I think it's such a fine line that you want to keep building for Samsonov, but in the back of your mind, you're like, we really think that we got to keep building Wohl up too, and you can't forget him. I don't think it'd be the end of the world if Samsonov played again Sunday. I don't think it would necessarily be a statement that we've lost any faith in Wohl or move it forward. I think I don't know. I would lean towards going back to Samsonov again
so
and let him just start.
Wow, guys, it makes no sense. Now you're talking about two goalies who you're talking about basically splitting this year.
Yeah.
We don't even know who the starter is right now. If I asked one of you guys, gun to your head, who it is.
But if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that...
The starter, I would say it's Samsonov.
That you...
You wouldn't have said that last week.
Yeah, I would have.
I wouldn't have changed my mind in 12, 14 games.
I feel like we change our mind on this show every time.
I envision Samsonov playing 45, 50 games. And Wohl, to come in and play 30 games, I thought would have been very good for him.
But I wish I was patient enough to go back and listen to our old shows where we were like, Samsonov gets shelled and his confidence is shook and we're not sure if he can play in the league. And what are Wohl's the guy.
But what,
like,
in 3 weeks? You just
pal,
came
this,
to that?
This show, we had these conversations that Samsonov was no longer in a good spot to be the goalie.
That's fine, but we didn't say get rid of him or bail on him.
No.
No one said that.
No, but still, given how close it is between these guys and the guy.
To split them up one for one just yet.
Right, but they play in 36 hours now.
Yeah.
It would be illogical to be like, for whatever, what desperate reason would you not give Jason? Wohl hasn't played in 10 games too, or 10 days too, or whatever it's been now, so.
Yeah.
It'll be 6.
Did someone tell me Willie is on the podium? Do you not want to hear Willie?
I mean, I don't put me in this spot, but like, I can tell
you don't
you
want
right,
Willie?
I can tell you right now, it's not going to be thrilling.
No, I want to go to it.
Okay, it's probably too late now if you want to go.
Too late?
Sure, I don't know. It's
Derek, can we go to Willie? Yeah, go
throw it.
Okay,
but it was a great day for sure. I mean, very special day for all the Swedes on our team, and I mean, obviously the history that the Leafs have. With Swedish players, so it's a very special day for sure.
On the right side, second row.
Merles from Game Notes. I couldn't help but notice, but the first goal and the third goal came from the blue paint, from the mixer. Is that something you work on or think about and get pucks there and bodies there?
I just think that's the kind of the game, the way the game was going for us. Nothing was really clean. Everything was just kind of sliding off our stick or whatever, so we had to get there to get a couple dirty ones, I guess.
Second row, Andrew.
Another game with a point. That's every game this year. The consistency to be able to do that and doing that in the third period after a couple of difficult periods for you guys. What does that say about being able to do that again?
Sorry?
Say to continue the streak after what was a tough couple periods.
Yeah, look, I mean, the streak for me is now, it is what it is. I'm just focusing on working hard. And, I mean, if there's a point that happens, it happens. But, I mean, the most important thing is that we get the win.
Third row on the right.
Skulle du säga att du känner någon utveckling i ditt spel till den här säsongen? För du har gjort rätt mycket poäng nu i inledningen. Och vad har du jobbat på i sommar?
Jag tycker det är från...
We should tap out a Sweden question here. Tap back and bring us back.
You happy?
You know what I found? Yeah, I am.
Okay. I don't know if we're back or not. Are we back?
Yeah, we're back.
I hope people could see that outfit.
Oh, my God.
That was some mafia.
Oh, he couldn't shower fast enough. Right? He couldn't shower fast enough to get out.
Saturday night in Sweden after
soup
Friday.
It's Friday.
Whatever it is.
It's Friday.
It's all the same.
You know what I found interesting? Because we had the live feed here in the building, is that, like, they were pumping up the audience, but it was like so, like you could have been at a monster truck event in Alabama, you know? I mean, it was no signs of the Swedish language. It was all English,
yeah.
You know? It was a real...
Yeah, it didn't have a heavily Swedish feel.
No, there's no Swedish feel in that building tonight.
No, I agree.
Outside
I agree.
Of Willie's presence.
Yeah, but, and I mean, Willie's relatives look pretty Swedish. That was a pretty good...
Willie's, you know what Willie's relatives look like? Willie.
So... They're like, oh, it's Graham is going to be going to the game. I was expecting her to look like 100 years old. She just looked like she was like
39.
Yeah, what the hell?
Knee jeans.
He's 25 years old. How old do you want the grandma to be?
I don't know. But
Sam is not a math major.
When I was 25, I guess my grandma was older. I guess I had an old ass
grandma. I don't know. Sure. Yeah. Anyway, grandma looks great.
It's got great looking grandma.
Yeah.
Now, why is the media so obsessed with this streak? Like, they ask him every day, and every day he's like,
"We did this last year too."
I don't care.
With Mitch.
I get it.
We did it with Mitch last year with the streak. Yep.
Is it because it started the beginning of the season? Is this a different streak than Mitch's streak?
Yes.
Or is it considered the same streak?
Different streak than Mitch's streak.
This is a new record from the start of the season.
Yeah.
We should like establish a stance as a show that we don't care about point streaks.
I do.
Oh, damn.
Why would you not care about a point streak?
Not agree.
It's a man in the NHL scoring points every game for a consecutive run of games. That's interesting.
There's so much randomness, even for great players, that ain't a random point or you miss a night because your line mate doesn't shoot it in. Doesn't tell us.
We're all in the pursuit of what's Wayne's record? What is it, like
51.
51?
51.
Yeah, I was going to say late 40s, but...
Yeah, like, I mean, that's a long way to go, obviously. But, like, you can't get to 41. You can't get to 51 without 16 straight, so...
All right.
Got to start somewhere.
Willie's on the way to Gretzky.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not allowed, Sammy, not allowed to talk about money or Willie, because you just get absolutely depressed.
Here we go.
Because everybody else can apparently say that, hey, the price of poker keeps going up, but...
To be fair,
I'm not allowed to on this show because it depresses you.
In our pre-show meeting where I apparently was talking too much, Borny was the one who was like, we don't have to do it today.
We just did Willie costing a lot of money. He's on the team now.
Can Brett Tree Living not negotiate after this game going, yeah, but what about the first two periods, Willie?
I actually think that was a joke in the room as well, was that after two periods, they should go in and offer him 9-5 and see if he would take it. But after the third, you would not have liked the number it would take to get it done.
I don't know. Keefe's going to speak, so I don't know if we want to go to that live. I don't know when it's going to happen here, but I don't know if we want to tap dance a little longer here. We want to go to break. What do you guys want to do? Go to break?
Well, we also think that we might find Luke Fox, but he's running around.
Yeah, but he's running around.
So let's go to break.
Yeah, come back and see what's going on.
Okay, you heard the man. We're going to go to break. Come back. More Real Kipper and Bourne, Leaf Edition.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back here on the Leaf Edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. And, of course, we are kind of flying off the seat of our pants because we've never really had an afternoon game before that we watched together and then come on and talk for an hour about it. So we have the option now of going to maybe the podium and getting some of the players. And just on break, JB and I were like, we can go to Tavares on the podium, and Sam is saying, no, we can't go to Tavares. And I'm like, Sam.
All right.
I know he's not the most exciting guy in the world.
You guys want to go to Tavares?
I know you're the producer.
We're going to Tavares. Well, obviously, it's a tremendous honor to play here. To play in Stockholm, Sweden.
All right, let's go to him.
Tremendous honor.
He's the captain.
It's a tremendous honor.
Diener, 16 so months here, put himself, I think, in the conversation with the best players in the game. He continues to show on a nightly basis how dominant he is and the game breaker that he can be, and just playing at a real elite level. Obviously, he's hot right now and leading the way for us.
All the way over here on the right, Luke.
John, can you describe what it meant to the team to have Matt Sundin give a little pregame speech and maybe share what his message was to you guys?
He was fantastic. I think that was pretty cool. I think, especially for the Ontario guys that, you know, watched him growing up and idolized Matt's and certainly all our Swedes. So what he means to this organization, his track record and what he did for a long, long time. You know, for me being captain and him being a former captain and the way he led the way is extremely impressive and something you, you know, you don't take lightly and you idolize and try to mimic some of the things that he did really well. Obviously a really special player in person. So that was really cool. He just said the opening lineup and just wished us the best and just thought we were going to have a great night. So it was pretty cool having him come in.
Right side, third row.
John, playing in Toronto for a few years. Can you tell us about Boris Salming's legacy
okay.
back home?
We're back?
City?
Yeah, it's really special.
We're ready to talk now.
Okay. The last couple of years, you know, you really started to feel it, obviously.
Hold on. Was that my impression, or you thought that was exciting?
I thought the Ontario guys' note was a worthwhile one, not just for the Swedes, but for the Ontario guys.
Paid attention, everybody else went and taped their stick.
It was special for the Ontario guys. By the way, John Tavares with that point, 3 points tonight. Inside the NHL's top 100 scorers of all time, he passed Phil Kessel for 99th.
Hey, listen, he's been the model of consistency getting his points.
994.
It's always around a point a game. Yeah. With the Islanders, the Leafs, that's his wheelhouse.
I was heartbroken when he was leading the NHL in points. Remember at the time when no one had got any points? I think he had 85 or 6. And Jamie Benn had a 4 or 5 point night with like empty netter and passed
lost
him
the
for
title.
The Art Ross. Yeah, in the last game.
I think we have the clip of Sundin talking.
Yeah,
to the room.
Intro. That was really cool. We should definitely play that.
Do we have that, Derek? All right, perfect. Let's listen to that. It's Keefe tees him up and then he talks at the end.
Coming to Sweden here is not just us showing up, enjoying the city and playing the game. And it's not just because we got 5 Swedes on our team, but our connections here in Sweden with the Maple Leafs are deep, right? There's a patch on your shoulder tonight, honoring the life and legacy of Boris Salming for the great player and competitor that he was. But he also paved the way for not just the Swedes that are on our team here now, but for a legend, Leaf legend, Hall of Famer, captain, and all-time leading scorer, Matt Sundin. Come in here and get started.
Go, boys. Keep doing what you're doing, guys. Samsonov in net. Riley. Lagerson. Nylander. Jan Kruk. And Domi, boys. Go! One unit, guys. Make
now
us proud,
on.
Guys. Have a great day.
You have to say,
I'm going
Kruk.
Hunting.
Yadam Kruk.
I could cry.
That meant a lot to you?
No, honestly, like, Matt Sundin means the world to me.
That's
like,
awesome.
And just to have them there and see him in the dressing room and, like, having him around the Leafs, I'm just like, it's really exciting. And I people of my vintage, like my friends, like that video in my group chat is just like, I've been sent that by 7 different people.
Really?
It matters. People love Matt Sundin. Like my era,
younger people probably feel that way about the Tavares he's been making fun of, their current captain.
You think?
Tremendous. Really cool.
Oh, we can do it a key voice. Hey!
There we go.
Coach Kippers Clippers, let's go.
William Nylander, just a few thoughts on your team's performance tonight, coming away with the 2 points. Slow start, but big finish.
Yeah, I mean, we saved our energy and our legs. You know, we didn't have a whole lot going on in the first 2 periods in terms of pace and tempo, all that kind of stuff, but found it in the 3rd period for sure and gave ourselves a chance. Felt strongly if we scored the next goal that, you know, we would have a real good opportunity, and that's the way it worked out.
Over here on the right, Luke.
Sheldon, whose idea was it to have Matt Sundin address the group before the game?
No, we talked about it last night at dinner. You know, we just thought it was a good opportunity to let him have that moment, and I thought it's impactful as well with the group. Just, I think the the connection with Sweden and Swedes is strong with the Maple Leafs, and to have Mats address the group, I thought was really, really important and a good opportunity to, you know, sort of, you know, it's a small token, but it's, you know, it's, I think it gives him that moment too, and gives him a chance to address the group. There are some younger guys in the group and all of that, but there's everyone knows Mats Sundin, who he is, and then whether it's the Swedish connection or Max, you know, there's strong connections there between the team and Mats and Börje Salming as well. So I think it was a very fitting thing and quite an obvious thing for us to do.
And has your appreciation for the connection between this country and the Maple Leafs changed at all? Is there something you've learned now that you've been here?
Well, just seeing the blue jerseys, you know, in the crowd tonight, which, you know, I'm sure there's some people that have come in from Toronto, you know, but I think a lot of those are Swedes. You guys might know better than me, but I spent a good 7-8 hours walking around the city yesterday on our day off, and so lots of fans from other leagues, or from other teams, excuse me, around the league that clearly had traveled over here. Didn't see a lot of Leaf fans, but yet there's a lot of blue jerseys out there tonight. So I think that gives you a sense and a perspective of folks like Salming and Sundin and those that have come before our current crop. To that end, it's tremendous. I was thrilled to... not surprised, but thrilled to see the Salming patch on the shoulder tonight. I think that was a real nice token to the legacy of Börje, what he means to the organization. And then, you know, to have a sweet like Willie come through for us in the big moments and kind of carry us through that third period with his line and the way that they played, it's a tremendous finish.
Up front, Matt.
And just how special was it to see William rise to the occasion like that in the third period in front of family, friends, all these Swedish fans, his grandmother watching the game for her first time in person?
Yeah, it's tremendous. You know, I'm sure Willie coming in wanted to have a night like that. Willie's had a lot of nights like that so far here this season. He, like a lot of our team, didn't have much happening in the first two periods. I don't think he had a shot on goal in the first two periods. But it was clear to me that he had a little extra jump in his step in that third period, started to double him up a little bit. And you know, we were still trying to use four lines, but I was trying to use the Tavares line more kind of every third shift and then move the other guys around that I thought they had a little something going. As Willie certainly drove it, but Tavares and Bertuzzi were excellent as well. So, you know, those guys obviously came through for us, and I thought our rest of our group fed off that. The Matthews line started to have some really good shifts, had some chances of their own. So, you know, it's really good, and clearly that's what we needed in that moment.
There are no more questions. Thanks for your time, Coach.
Thank you.
He did his walking around. Seven or eight hours. Just moving around.
I kind of got the sense
he's pissed off.
I got the sense that he wanted to say more about what he didn't like what he might be concerned about, but he didn't want to because
Coach,
I don't know if
his mouth shut.
I don't know. Didn't want to ruin the weekend.
He didn't want to squash the Sweden moment. Willie was the hero in the game. He didn't want to go into Sweden and be
totally
like,
agree.
I hated how they played.
I was listening up there, and I would have made a bigger emphasis on, like, I'm not happy. We've been here all week. We start that way. Mm. We looked awful. We couldn't make three passes. Like, yes, it finished nicely.
Yeah.
But it also was a horrible start where you guys looked disinterested. You couldn't make three passes. Why weren't you ready? Well, the one simple question, my first question in there was, why weren't you guys ready to play this game?
You know, I think
I would love to hear his answer.
I think sometimes over the course of 82 games, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, and you've been in NHL dressing rooms and all that, you can't always put your foot on their throat. And it feels like in Sweden, in this big sort of unique moment, it would just feel like the wrong time to me to go out there and be like, the bah humbug things. You could see him fighting it up
there. He did it without saying it. Like, I've watched Sheldon Keefe every game, every morning.
I'm glad.
He was...
I'm glad he mentioned Willie. You didn't show up for two periods.
Did he not say that? And he went out of his way to specify he actually had no shots for two periods. So, you know,
like, well, good on him. But
yeah. As someone who had him over 3.5 shots, I noticed that myself.
So, very nice.
Ended up with 5, by the way. 5-shot third period.
There has to be a little bit of a concern here. And guys, you're 20 minutes away from Detroit going to, what, 21 points? Like, that was a huge...
big swing.
That was a big swing.
Yep.
For the Leafs and Detroit. Detroit had a chance to close out 20 minutes, go to, what, 21 points, and leave the Leafs at 18.
Yeah.
Go to 20 points, because they're at 18. The Leafs are tied. They were tied.
No. They have 19. The Leafs have 20.
Am I right?
Yes, you are.
Oh, they haven't updated on NHL.
Okay.
My bad.
So... if we're sitting here doing this show right now and Detroit finished them off on a regulation win and they're at 21-18, are we having a conversation that are the Leafs going to be one of these teams that's just going to be in the mix all year long with a bunch of other teams here? Or are they going to be a team that's, you know, right there with Boston and running away with number two spot if they can even catch Boston?
Yeah, you know, like, I don't see this team, this Leafs team, with Boston start. It's tough to imagine them chasing down the division lead. But, you know, they've won 4 of their last 5 now, right?
After a really bad stretch. Yeah, they've kind of rebounded a bit here.
They've had a tough, yeah, they beat Tampa, Calgary, Vancouver, Detroit here.
But have they done it really looking like they're kicking it into, like, a third gear?
Saturday against Vancouver,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I think they did on Saturday.
No, they played great on Saturday.
Yeah, I didn't think Demko was great. And they were okay. They were good. But I still don't see them as... that was their most complete game. I won't take that away from them.
Yeah.
But a team that we can say is like head and shoulders above other teams...
no, they got work to do.
We're not there. No. And we weren't there today either.
You know, when you look around the league... you know, see the Rangers at 11-2-1. You see Boston at 12-1-1. You see Dallas at 11-3. You see the Golden Knights at 13-3. Like, there are some teams that you say, okay, those teams are a little special, a little bit something different. It doesn't feel like the Leafs are in that tier, but
they're in the next tier, I would say. Yeah.
And you can win the cup from that one, and there's room to get better. So you just don't want to be giving away points. A regulation win was important, I think, tonight. You know, it
really was.
You know, yeah. Because you could be in a tie at the end of the year with Detroit, and that could be the difference.
Yeah.
And what did I tell you from a Detroit angle with 10:57 left in the game?
I don't remember.
Call a timeout.
Yes, you did, too. Okay. You said the Leafs, they stopped playing.
Derek needed to call them in and pretend he was on Hockey Night in Canada and say, when we were in Tampa, this is the way we did it.
Yeah, well, when you're in Detroit, here's how you should do it. They should have called the timeout in that moment, no doubt about it.
I love that controversy. It's like, oh, yeah, they tried to shoot blocker on him. It's like, oh, my God, what a national controversy.
So what's the deal on this Off the Rails Friday? We're dropping it. You're driving it in the ditch. You're not back on our national hour.
Gord Stellick, right? You guys got Doug
McClain.
Yeah, Gordy's
on the other side of the door.
Where are you going to do TV?
I'm going to go sit with, Carolyn Cameron, Luke Asik, talk about the NHL at large.
I hate to break it to you, but we're more popular than they are.
You guys are prime time. I've been demoted.
All right, have a good one.
Thanks, guys.
And that's it for us on Real Kipper and Bourne with our Leaf Edition. We're back after these words with Gord Stellick on our national hour.